This is Twit.
I am blown away by this headline.
Yeah.
Red Hat has been acquired by IBM. By the way, Red Hat was one of the early Linuxes I used. I used Mandrake and then Red Hat.
Yep.
For $34 billion, making it, it's the biggest acquisition IBM's ever made. It's the third biggest tech acquisition of all time.
Yeah,
bigger even than Microsoft buying LinkedIn. Is Red Hat worth $34 billion?
At least it's not based on user count, Leo. That's one of the things I'm grateful for.
It's kind of stunning. I mean, the only bigger ones are Dell buying EMC. That was last year. And semiconductor Avago Technologies buys and renames itself Broadcom and $37 billion.
Well, AOL Time Warner, if you count that, right?
How much was that?
If you sort of put that aside.
That was $165 billion.
Yeah.
$241 billion adjusted for inflation. So that's a lot bigger. But that was the number two acquisition of all time. That was misguided, right?
Yeah. So in the press release, I read the press release today, and like you, I'm still trying to figure it out. And there's folks at ZDNet who probably have already posted something on this, and I need to go read it. Stephen J. Von Nichols, I would expect, would be if he doesn't have a post up there yet, he will soon. One of the things that they said in their press release was hybrid cloud. I think hybrid cloud. That's their approach to it. And Red Hat has been an enterprise services company for quite a while. They're not a Linux distro. They have 12,000 employees, I think.
Whoa.
However,
they were valued at the last I saw it, $20 billion.
Yeah.
So this is a significant premium.
But can we just announce that we'll sell Fedora? We'll sell the Twit Fedora instance for like $34 million if anyone's interested.
Wow.
Just put that out there.
I'll take it. Yeah. Red Hat missed its most recent revenue estimates. Company's subscription revenue 20% of year over year. Growth to $722 million. So that's a lot of money for a free operating system.
They think they need this to compete, right? They think that the cloud is definitely the cloud services of the future, and Amazon and other companies are running away with them, and it's IBM, and they need one of how Ed figured out how to kick the server. They think Red Hat's going to help kick them into the cloud era.
Yeah, this is what Jeannie Rometty, the CEO, said. The acquisition of Red Hat is a game changer. It changes everything about the cloud market. IBM will become the world's number one hybrid cloud provider, offering companies the only open cloud solution. That's cloud four times in one sense. That will unlock the full value of the cloud for their businesses. I guess it's
open,
all about,
right? Open is big now too.
Cloud. Well, cloud at Microsoft. I mean, I thought the moon had turned blue when Microsoft announced they were going to put Linux on Azure.
Yeah. And they bought GitHub.
And then they bought GitHub. By the way, that closed this week also. It's an interesting week for open source, isn't it?
AIX must be crying quietly in a closet somewhere.
AIX, Apple's Unix. Oh yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Anybody who is still on the who is still quoting Steve Ballmer saying that open source is communism or whatever that stupid thing he said way back when was
he said Linux was a cancer.
Linux was a cancer. That's right. And it was Bill Gates who said that open source is communism. But that was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far away. And anyone who's been paying attention, it has been at least 5 years that Microsoft has been unequivocally committing to open source projects. They just open sourced their patents,
right?
For Android, they had been making a significant amount of money over the years. I mean, $1 billion a year from Samsung alone patent licensing for those. So giving that up was, a real demonstration of a commitment to this open source stuff.
Yeah,
by it feels like companies want to keep proprietary what makes them money and then open source everything that makes their competition money.
There you go.
That seems like the winning strategy.
Totally. It's kind of like in the Microsoft thing is kind of like, and it is relevant to the IBM Red Hat story. You know, it's like in the new Star Trek Discovery, there's the guy who's a Starfleet officer who's actually a Klingon underneath. Yep. But, you know, so that's kind of like what it's like, a complete DNA infusion. Today's Microsoft is essentially a Linux company, especially on the server, because all of this stuff is the backbone of the internet. It's the backbone of the enterprise. And, you know, these tools and open source technology and software runs the world. And so for IBM, as they said, you hit the nail on the head, Leo, like they mentioned cloud four times in the one sentence. This is all about them trying to compete and get a leg up any way they can against Google, Amazon, and Microsoft. Amazon and Microsoft have really been kind of running away, especially Amazon, with the cloud market. Google's playing catch up. They've been trying to use price and AI, machine learning, as their way to pick off some of these cloud deals. And they have been somewhat successful, but still, you know, Amazon's the 800-pound gorilla. Microsoft is the number one challenger. Google's trying to, you know, elbow its way in. And IBM has been trying unsuccessfully to sort of be the fourth wheel there.
Right.
And they needed something like this to help them push forward. And Red Hat is interesting because they've been rumored to have been an acquisition target of Oracle, of Microsoft, of Google, especially, and now it's happened with IBM, and so they are a huge company, and they, to Ed's point earlier, they are very much a cloud services IT integrator kind of company anymore. Not really
not
a Linux company.
Okay.
No. Okay. And so it's not a Linux distribution, you know, anymore. It really is. It's funny because even during the .com boom. The moment that the dot-com boom that we kind of all, or I think a lot of us scratch our heads, was the moment, and I thought about this when the story broke, the moment that Red Hat actually was worth more than IBM in value, its market capitalization, was the moment we all kind of went, yeah, this is probably getting a little bit out of control. And that wasn't long afterwards that the dot-com bust happened. Right. So it is somewhat ironic. You know, that was one of the pivotal moments of the dot-com boom. It is funny that these two companies are now paired up, you know, 20 years later almost, and trying to make a go at Amazon and Google and Microsoft as the big companies that are going to control the next generation of the internet and the enterprise, unless, you know, IBM can disrupt them. And IBM, you know, they have got their work cut out for them, even with this acquisition.
Although Red Hat gets them back in the door for a lot of other services. I think that's what they think, at least.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, And this is really unfair, and I don't mean this to be as cruel as it's probably going to sound, but it does in some ways remind me of the merger of Kmart and Sears.
Oh, dear. Holy cow.
I know that's really harsh and all, but both of those companies, you know, when they merged, they had been successful for years in their field. They had struggled as other companies leapfrogged them, and they, you know, they dropped in the rankings in their segment. And, you know, Jason, like you say, you know, you've got AWS, and then you have Azure, and then you have a big long gap before you get to, you know, Google and IBM and you know, Salesforce, Oracle, anybody else who's going to be in there with a cloud product. And I just wonder that, you know, that there's always a temptation for two smaller companies to combine and say, we're going to, you know, by combining, we'll be big enough to be a credible competitor. But if they didn't, if it's not a good fit culturally, technologically, product-wise, then what you do is you magnify your problems instead of instead of magnifying your opportunities.
Boy, the analogy to Kmart and Sears is pretty stunning. That was an $11 billion merger, two failing retailers who were desperately trying to stay current. This was back in 2004.
Yeah. Right. The one way this one looks better, though, is that they were in a market where retail was drastically dropping. In this case, 10% of the world, 10% of enterprises today are all cloud. By 2025, that's likely to be 80%. And so even these two together, if they can find a niche where it's like, we're really good at hybrid cloud, or we're really good at hospitals, or they can find one segment of the cloud market that they can serve better than anybody else in a market that's growing this big over the next decade, they could survive and even thrive if they can do that and do it well.